endowments are a really big issue for a select few colleges and universities. But on the presidential campaign trail, the hot topic in education is student loan debt.
No student should have to borrow to pay tuition at a public college or university.
And the inefficiencies of our higher education system are passed on with recourse debt effectively for students.
Loans. I owed over $100,000 just 4 years ago.
No surprise, since student loan debt is now the second largest source of consumer debt, totaling more than $1 trillion. And 7 million of those borrowers are currently in default. But as counterintuitive as it may seem, our next guest says that reducing the amount students borrow will not solve the default problem. Susan Donarski is professor of education, public policy, and economics at the University of Michigan. She's also a frequent contributor to the New York Times blog The Upshot, where she recently wrote about why students with the smallest debts have the largest problem. Hi, Susan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So some very big numbers there. $1 trillion in loans, $7 million in default. Aren't the two linked? The more you borrow, the more likely you are to default?
Surprisingly, the relationship is the opposite. The less people borrow, it appears the less likely they are to default. I don't think there is causality there, so I would not suggest that somebody rush out and borrow $50,000 in order to make sure that they don't default. What's going on is that those who borrow small amounts and those who borrow large amounts are very different borrowers.
So what do you mean by small amounts, large amounts?
About half of those who default borrow less than $10,000.
Wow. Okay, that's shocking.
Yes. These are not the numbers that we see in the headlines.
And on the upper end?
On the upper end, 3% of borrowers borrow more than $100,000, and they are the least likely to default.
Well, you said no causality, but what I took away from your article is that if you are spending a lot more on education, you're probably making a lot more money, and you can repay your loans.
I think what's going on is that there's a third factor. When you look at the folks who are in the top there with $100,000 debts, those are disproportionately people who are borrowing for graduate school. So we're talking about people who have already graduated with the BA, so they got through that hurdle. Only half of people who go for a BA actually get one. And they've moved on to graduate school, so it's a select group of people who indeed go on and earn a lot more. If you look at the folks who are in the bottom in terms of borrowing, those tend to be people who just went for a short time, went to a for-profit institution, went to a community college, dropped out after only getting a few credits. And they went in with low earnings, and they're coming out with low earnings.
What percentage, Sue, of that 7 million defaulters do you think these lower, the number of those defaulting on much smaller loans is?
Half of the 7 million defaults are for amounts less than $10,000.
Okay, this is really upending everything that I know about this. And, you know, this has been talked about by a number of the presidential candidates. It's kind of emerged on the trail. Some proposing solutions, some proposing, for example, free tuition, in the words of Bernie Sanders, for example. Are those who are borrowing such small amounts likely to benefit from any of these relief or other proposed programs for education?
It's possible that if some of these proposals resulted in, say, community colleges being free, then some people who currently borrow to cover their tuition no longer would. So that would help there. But a good chunk of these defaults are at for-profit private colleges, and I've not seen anything in the various proposals that would reduce tuition at those places. I think to some degree making public colleges free would reduce demand for the for-profit expensive colleges, but they're always going to be there. They always have. They require their own policy attention. They're a problem that needs to get fixed.
Even those for-profit colleges, if you're borrowing tuition, you still have to live. Are people borrowing these kind of sums of money for living expenses?
Yes, they're borrowing for both tuition as well as for living expenses.
So you are proposing in your blog piece that, in your blog post, that getting students to borrow less won't solve the problem. What then will?
I guess my point is that there's not a silver bullet that's going to fix all of our problems in higher education. What I see is that the free college movement using student loan crisis as a motivator, you know, that we have all these loans, we have all these defaults, we must make college free. And my point is simply that making college free isn't going to make this problem go away. It might mitigate it, but we're still going to have to deal with the fact that folks that have very small loans still have problems, and we need to fix the repayment system is what I argue.
Well, Susan, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Susan Donarski, she's professor of education, public policy, and economics at the University of Michigan, and a frequent contributor to the New York Times blog, The Upshot. She's written extensively about student loan debt, and you'll find links to read her articles there at wordofmouthradio.org.